Hello and welcome to Politics War Room with James Carville, and I'm Al Hunt. This week our guest is Emmy-winning journalist turned congressional candidate, Pennsylvania CD 10, Janelle Stelson. Now remember, we love taking your questions, so write to politicswarroom@gmail.com for next week's show. Now we're going to get to as many as we can, but don't forget to tell us where you're from. You can also get text updates about what's next for Politicon and Politics War Room by signing up at politicon.com. Tell your friends about us and remind them to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please check out the links to our sponsors, Air Doctor, Miracle Made, and Trust in Will, and our episode show notes. We thank you for supporting these sponsors. It really helps make this podcast happen. James, you have been our bull market, predicting a huge Democratic year. I've been a little more cautious, but your confidence seems to have ebbed a little bit in the last week. You know, tell us why. I mean, are you worried that it's not going to be the kind of year that you thought it was going to be?
Well, I don't know how to say that I think it'll be a good year, but what really worries me, there are people in a Democratic Party, or let's put it this way, that are associated with the Democratic Party in some way that I don't think understand the moment that the country is in. In my view, the country is in a very perilous position. I mean, really perilous. I mean, I look at this deal with the Saudis to have nuclear power, and as soon as somebody goes and see how much the nuclear, and I'm pro-nuclear, by the way. Let me be straight here. I am a all of the above when it comes to energy, nuclear being part of all of the above. But this is going to turn out like everything, in my opinion, when everybody gets to the bottom of this, you know, this is Saudi Arabia, the nuclear industry, Trump. What could happen if you put those three elements together? I don't know, but I don't want to say anything definitively happened, but I'm saying I have questions, all right? But what really bothers me is there are people who claim to be Democrats that are running against the Democratic Party, not against Donald Trump. That the problem with the Democratic Party, but problem with the country, is the Democrats. And they say that there's no difference. There's the American, it's the American League, and it's the National League. Now, I want to ask you something to provoke me. The Budget Committee, that's an important committee, right?
Right.
Okay. Ron Johnson, does it matter if it's Ron Johnson or Jeff Merkley? I think there's a difference between the two of them. I really do. I don't think it's the Judiciary Committee. Is there a difference between Chuck Grassley and Sheldon Whitehouse? I don't think it's the American League and the National League. I don't. And I think that people who tend toward the Democratic Party and tend more toward the left of the Democratic Party have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. And I think what they're doing is they're playing a very dangerous game by running around and telling people, frankly, a pack of lies. There's no other way to say it. And they use idiotic words that they have no idea what they mean. Establishment Democrat and this and that. And the big, and all Trump does, he tells one lie after another. And these people are telling the biggest lie they can tell is there's no difference between Sheldon Whitehouse and Chuck Grassley. There's no difference between Ron Johnson and Jeff Merkley. And that is just not true. There's no difference between Hakeem Jeffers and Mike Johnson. That is just not true. All right. That is not true. And stop goddamn lying to people. That's why I'm getting down. And I'm afraid there are people that will vote in this election who are not inclined to vote for Trump, that will believe that stupid shit. And that is why I am depressed. Yes, I am.
Well, James, let me tell you, I'm going to try to walk you off the ledge. I think that if the socialist Democrats win the governorship in Wisconsin and the Senate race in Michigan, my concern level will increase some. That will fuel the Republican and right-wing media phony narrative that Democrats are crazy. But I still think it's a banner year. Let me tell you why. First, as we know, Hakeem Jeffries, Susan DelBene, and Jason Crow have recruited great candidates, as good as it gets, all around America. In New York, in the New York suburban District 17, if Mike Lawler tries to paint Kate Conley, a 16-year special ops commander, if he tries to paint her as a left-wing socialist, she'll eat him for lunch. I think, secondly, the polls are probably understating Democrats. They did in most of the special elections, and I think great candidates finish well. And if you look at the enthusiasm, you and I have talked about this, you may have even taught me this, more than the preference polls, if you look at enthusiasm, and that the more likely number is not Democrats win by 4 or 5 in the popular vote, but they win by 7 or 8. And that's picking up a whole lot of seats and maybe even the Senate. And finally, there is the gift that doesn't stop giving, Donald Trump. He has no idea what to do out of this messy, awful quagmire he's gotten in Iran. His corruption is, I think, beginning to resonate. The economy's not going to get any bit better. So, James, I think you identify the problems, but I don't think anything has changed. I think the Democrats remain in a very strong position.
I hope you're right. I tend to think you're right, but I got to tell you, there's too much lying going on in this country. Of course, there's nothing for them but a pack of lies. There's far too much lying coming from the left wing. As long as you have that many lies out there in the vapors or the ether or whatever it is, I can't believe the lies that these left wingers are telling people. I can certainly believe the lies that Trump is telling people and everything else but lie. But some of this stuff is just nonsense. And you got people mouthing that. And it bothers me and it concerns me slightly. But I on the whole, I agree with you. But I'm just more worried now than I was a month ago.
Well, I feel we're mainly off the ledge. So we got you back almost to where you were. So let me tell you another lie. The right wing has seized on the New Jersey governor Mikey Sherrill's acknowledgement that due to a bureaucratic error. 6,000 non-citizens were registered to vote in that state, and 400 actually voted. And let me just say, well, number one, we should make sure that all eligible citizens vote and not someone who's not eligible. We do a heck of a great job there. It's amazing what we do. New Jersey wasn't a case of fraud. It was a screw-up. Sherrill publicly brought it out. Nobody tried to hide it. 400 voted. In the gubernatorial election that she won, there were 3.3 million votes. Those 400 ineligible voters were 1/8,000th, 1/8,000th of that. Amazon, a great company, even if I don't like its leader these days, has a higher error rate than that. And it was Trump. Talking about fraud, it was Trump who asked Georgia to fine him 11,280 votes so he could fraudulently carry the state. And finally on this, Miss Dillon, who is the Attorney General for Civil Rights, it's like putting Andrew Tate in charge of the Bureau of Women's Rights, says she's going to investigate New Jersey. All she has to do is talk to Mikey Sherrill. And I wonder if she's interested in 10 years ago, Georgia threw 40,000 people off the rolls because they hadn't voted in several elections. There's not a requirement that you have to vote. But they threw them off the polls, and when they tried to vote, probably more than 400, several elections later, they were denied the right. That was their right. I wonder if she'll look at that. I rather doubt it.
Well, Al, two things can be true at the same time. First of all, in Louisiana, you got to show your driver's license to vote. I'd have to ask Michael Wallman or Fred Wertheimer, does this really have that much of an effect? And voter fraud in the United States is an infinitesimal problem. I don't even, to the extent, I guess you could say it exists. Anything could exist. It exists on such a minuscule scale, right. And it's been proven time and time and time again. But I don't know if we're not better off said, okay, we'll take that alternative ID, bring your gas bill or your light bill or something. Because for whatever reason, this shit polls at 75%. I don't make, I don't think people are aware of it. I think people assume that, that voter fraud happened. Again, I don't even want to say it. If you want to say infinitesimal, I don't know if I could think of a word that would be even narrower than that. I would say that. But, and I don't like when we say, well, look, it's a very minor problem, but you know, you got to admit it barely exists. And it's just, it doesn't make any sense. Having said that, we are not going to win the war against some kind of ID. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fix anything, but maybe you just go along with it and move to the next
thing. Well, James, let me disagree. We have voter ID in most states. Most states have voter ID.
Right.
What they're trying to do with this so-called SAVE Act is require what they say is proof of citizenship, which is either a birth certificate, which I don't know, 25, you know, people have a hard. I went a couple of years ago. I was going to take a trip overseas, and about 10 days ahead of time, I couldn't find. I spent 10 days trying to get my birth certificate, or secondly, a passport, which most people don't have. And thirdly, you know, if you talk about your birth certificate and, you know, you didn't get to keep your maiden name. My wife let me keep mine. If you didn't get to keep your maiden name, you know, you're in trouble. So I think you're absolutely right on voter ID, but we basically have it.
Again, if we have it, just say, okay, pass the law. I mean, I think it's,
I don't want to pass that SAVE Act.
I never had a problem with it. I'm just saying, of all the things, people, if every poll shows 75 or better, say we should have some kind of an ID to vote. Some say, I don't know what it is, but shit, just quit fighting and go along with it and move to the next thing.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you, what are you going along with? With what?
Whatever the law in Louisiana is, make it the national law.
Well, I probably have no problem with that. Okay, what I do have problem with.
I'm not talking about the SAVE Act. I'm not talking about the SAVE Act at all.
Yeah.
I'm saying just adapt that. But somehow or another, it comes across that we don't want to check the eligibility of a voter, or we don't need to, because they're not going to vote if they're the dumbest thing in the world that a person here could do is illegally just try to vote. It's one vote, don't mean anything. It's the stupidest expenditure of campaign money. I don't know anybody ever did it to buy a vote. You go to jail for 5 years for one vote. It doesn't even make any sense. It's all a stupid argument, but maybe we could just come up with a simple thing and just say, okay, wait for this. Bye, thank you. Get the hell out of this argument.
Yeah, I basically agree with that. I mean, we really have to deal with the issue better, or Democrats have to deal with the issue better. Final thought. This is a little one. Arizona yesterday, not a big deal, but the Arizona governor, Governor Hobbs, is maybe the weakest Democrat incumbent in the country, but she had the good fortune. She's going to have the good fortune, to run against a right-wing election-denying Republican. And I think that race has gone from, at best, a toss-up to a race that's now clearly lean Democratic. And they appear not to have chosen their strongest candidate in one congressional race, but they can still win that. So I don't think Arizona changed anything yesterday. The big ones are still ahead, Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't know. The Wisconsin stuff, I'm told that the candidate there is like makes Mondami look like a Barry Goldwater or something. I don't know. She's pretty far left. And, you know, I will say this. I don't know the guy. Maybe I met him. If J.B. Pritzker was the governor of Wisconsin or the governor of Michigan, none of his stupid shit would be happening. Sometimes you got to rule with an iron fist. And this is ridiculous. We have in this primary when we're having the United States is on the cusp of disaster. Yeah. I you know, somebody's got to exhibit some strength and leadership here.
Okay, we're gonna start a Carville election positivity scale here. We went down a little bit today, but I'm predicting if not next week, within 2 weeks, we're going to be back.
I had minor abdominal surgery yesterday, so thank you. I appreciate it. I feel much better. I never thought I'd feel, but maybe that had an effect. Maybe I'm
that'll do it.
Hangover from the anesthesiologist.
That'll do it. Okay.
breathe clear with the air doctor. So how important is this to breathe clean air? Very important. I'm count me in the clean air wing of the
It's a gutsy position, but you're going to stick with it.
I'm big on clean air. Yes, sir. Big deal. And the cleaner the air, the better the air. I've always said that. Clean out the air.
Well, we all know that the food we eat affects the way we feel, but the air we breathe does also. We've all woken up feeling sluggish, stuffed, or distracted by an odor that seems to come from nowhere. There's nothing more frustrating, and it used to be a big issue until you discover the Air Doctor, the air purifier. After experiencing it, you can confidently say it's the only air purifier you'll ever use in your home. Once it gets turned on, you can breathe easier after finding out about them from their stellar reviews. We knew it was the answer to so many nagging problems. With the Air Doctor, there are fewer odors, cleaner air for your kids and pets, and reduced allergy symptoms. Life gets so much better with all the smoke and other junk being taken out of the air, especially in Washington, D.C., and I suspect down where you are too, James, where there are allergens everywhere, and that's not even including the politicians. So how does it work? Air Doctor. It's powerful. Three-stage filtration captures extremely small particles, about 100 times smaller than what typical air purifiers can remove. Now, that's incredible, and it means that it captures airborne contaminants you don't want to be breathing in, like dust, pollen, mold spores, pet dander, wildfire smoke, bacteria, viruses, odors, smoke, ozone, and volatile organic compounds. Better yet, it has a whisper-quiet operation, so it's not loud like others on the market. And with its auto-mode feature, it ensures optimal air 24/7. It even has a change filter reminders, so there's no more guesswork. 98% of Air Doctor customers say their home's air feels cleaner, safer, and healthier. So it's no surprise that it won Newsweek Reader's Choice Award for the best air purifier. Don't wait for better living with cleaner and purer air. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code WARROOM and get up to $300 off any of their select Air Doctor models. Plus, you'll get a 3-year warranty absolutely free. All Air Doctor air purifiers come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get this exclusive podcast-only offer now at airdoctorpro.com. That's AIRDOCTORPRO.com using the promo code WARROOM. The link is also in our show notes. James, our guest is Janelle Stelson, who is trying for the second time to defeat right-wing Republican Congressman Scott Perry in a Republican-leaning central Pennsylvania district. In 2024, she lost by only a percentage point one of the closest House races. She's a veteran, award-winning television anchorwoman. Ms. Stelson, I'm married to a television anchorwoman, so I know how formidable they can be. You came close last time running today in what should be a better environment, yet Congressman Perry, a 7-term lawmaker, has been involved in one controversy, one scandal after another, and yet he always seems to somehow survive, the last one trying to illicitly overturn the 2020 election. Why will it be different this time?
Well, we're planning a lot earlier than we did last time. We've reached thousands of people, both on the doors and on the phones. We're doing all the things we need to do to pull it out this time. And one thing that continues is I'm listening. As a TV news anchor for more than 30 years, I did a lot of listening and shining a bright light on folks and their concerns, their issues, and what they'd like to have accomplished in life. And I'm still listening. And the things I hear are not good. People are hungry for change. You know, they see everything that Scott Perry has been doing, our 7-term incumbent, who is the former head of the Freedom Caucus. For 1 week over the past couple weeks, he was the only one in the Pennsylvania congressional delegation to vote down the big housing bill, the biggest to come through Congress in the past 30 years. bipartisan, not good enough for him. But that same week, he also said he wanted to get rid of the 17th Amendment because, Al, James, he does not think we are capable of electing U.S. senators. He thinks state legislatures should do it, although he didn't say that about the House. Perfectly comfortable with his job. And then to close out the week, he wanted to remove all funding from the Peace Corps. So get rid of the Peace Corps. We can't elect U.S. senators. Don't need affordable housing. That's our representative.
Another one is the Big Beautiful Bill, which he voted for and then later criticized it for having too much pork. Give us a preview of the debate that you and Perry are going to have over the Big Beautiful Bill.
Well, I want to ask him what he thinks he has accomplished, because aside from wiping out medical care for millions of Americans, including 20,000 here in our district of central Pennsylvania who will lose their Medicaid, you know, I'd like to know what he thinks he's doing, getting rid of SNAP benefits. As soon as this happened, during the longest government shutdown the United States has ever had in November, I went to a soup kitchen and my team and I served breakfast. It was the beginning of the month, and the gentleman who toured us around that area of Harrisburg said, you know, we usually don't have this big a crew until the end of the month when people run out of their SNAP benefits, but they don't have SNAP benefits right now. And let me tell you what we saw there, Al. We saw a lot of older folks. We saw a lot of young children, people who really needed the meal, and we were happy to serve them. But shame on the United States of America for behaving in this way. And that's the kind of government Scott Perry votes for.
Well, you know, we've seen corruption in Washington on a massive scale. I've never seen anything like it. But I'm not sure it resonates yet. Do voters in York or Harrisburg say anything about this, or are they just focused on the economy and cost of living?
Economy, cost of living, they want healthcare to be accessible and affordable, and corruption. You named it, Al. They're talking about it right and left. They're talking about term limits all the way across the federal government for the Supreme Court, certainly for Congress, for a president. And they're talking about age limits. You know, these are things that matter to people. When you have somebody like Mitch McConnell, you know, we don't technically know if he's living right now or not. And I like what you said the other day about him, James. But, you know, these are answers. These people are supposed to be representing our community. That's the job title. And we have a lot of young folks who would like to be represented better. You know, they need to get into houses. They need to be able to afford their lives, pay off their student debt if they have it. These are all really important things. Groceries, utilities, you know, there's so much at stake here. And we need people who are working for us, not against us. And Scott Perry is one of these career politicians that if you're talking about the economy, healthcare, corruption, he's somebody who needs to be changed right about now.
And then turn it over to James. He is a big supporter of the Iran war. We may be on the verge of a major escalation. Do you think we should pull out right now?
I think we never should have been there. I think this is a deeply unpopular war that we never got permission for from Congress. And, you know, we've seen executive actions taken by an administration, which Scott Perry wholly supports. And, you know, we're talking about people here saying they don't have enough money to be able to survive well. And we're seeing Scott Perry say, okay, $20 billion to bail out Argentina. Let's offer $700 billion to buy Greenland. Let's pay for Iran, the billions and billions that's taking every day. You know, I heard early on in the war with Iran that if they had added up all the money that we'd spent bombing Iran, that we could pay for healthcare for tens of millions of Americans. That's what people tell me they are wanting.
James.
So I talking to our mutual friend Jim Brown yesterday, getting ready for this, and needs to say he's a big fan. Now, you're a convert, right? You were a Republican at one time. Did I hear that right, or is my memory fading me?
I was. I'm one of those folks who, my parents were very busy in the Republican Party when I was growing up. So when I turned 18, click, I went into the Republican Party. But being a TV newscaster for more than 30 years, you have to be nonpartisan. At the local level, absolutely. And so it was not an issue. And I voted the way I voted, which was certainly not always as my party stated at the time. Then when I got ready to run for office, I needed to run in the party that fit me best.
So just as a New Orleanian, I would tell you, we are very sympathetic to news people getting into politics. Our great new mayor was a newscast on WDSU for a long, long time, and she's doing a terrific job as mayor, so I can attest to that. Now, he really said that we should go back to the 17th Amendment. We should get rid of the 17th Amendment. Now, let me be clear. The state legislatures used to elect United States senators into the last century, I think. It was all came about the beginning of the last century. I would say the most famous line to use, one of the three best lines in all of politics ever. You know what they said of John D. Rockefeller in the Pennsylvania legislature?
No.
He did everything to it but refine it. I love that. And, you know, why does he want to substitute the judgment of what are they, probably 100 members of the state, you know, I don't know how many of the state legislature they are.
We're talking about a guy who has not held an in-person town meeting since 2019. So there are an awful lot of questions I and everybody here in Pennsylvania 10 would love to ask our elected member of Congress, but he doesn't come around, so we can.
So let's kind of clue in on your district so people can know. Do you extend as far east as Lancaster?
No, that's Pennsylvania 11.
Okay, and Gettysburg.
Not as far. And the northern parts of Cumberland and York County. So we have Hershey Chocolate, we have Three Mile Island, we have Harley Davidson, a number of defense organizations. This is a really interesting area.
And when you're out on the trail, and you do, of course, you do town halls, of course, you listen to voters because that's who you are. What is the like one or two, maybe even three things that you hear? And is there anything that you're hearing now that you weren't hearing 6-7 months ago?
I would say yes. In 2024, we were talking about affordability. This time, it's more like an economic crisis. People are like, am I going to pay for groceries and the utilities and be able to take care of my child's health care? You know, people are really not thriving and just trying to survive. So it's become crisis level, and that includes healthcare. You know, the big, beautiful bill that Al was talking about, you know, that's something that is threatening hospitals that were already struggling in this area. We've got an interesting mix of cities and rural areas here. And, you know, we have hospitals that are really struggling, and that big, beautiful bill is certainly not helping them. Doctor shortages become more extreme, especially if you need a specialist. You know, cutting off SNAP benefits, these cutting jobs. You know, Scott Perry says the chaotic tariff taxes are a great thing. He was just on the news a little while ago with a company in York County, and the CEO was talking about the struggle they're having. And Scott Perry interrupted and said, no, the tariff taxes are great. And the guy's looking at him on camera on the news like, are you crazy? Did you hear what I just said about my company? So there are an awful lot of problems, and corruption is probably the third thing. And I would say,
is that cropping up?
What?
Corruption.
Oh, yeah. And I will say, you know, term limits, age limits, not being able to sell or buy stocks or have your family do it. Those folks are involved in a lot of insider trading info that the rest of us will never be privy to. And it makes them very wealthy. So these are all things people care about. They want their lives to be affordable when they work hard, and they want healthcare to be available and affordable. And they want the corruption to end.
Right. Well, I know one thing. You come from the sweetest congressional district in the country, because I'm pretty sure Hershey is in it.
Oh, yes, it is. And believe me, if I get in, I will be fixing everybody up with the sweet stuff.
What did Josh get in your district, in that district in 24?
It was a +5 Republican district, and he won by 12 points. And we had him introduce me at my launch. And he endorsed us that night. We were on MSNBC. It was a really good night. He's a great person to work for who, I don't think he cares so much about party. He cares about taking care of Pennsylvanians.
But let's just understand what we've just been told. This is a +5 Republican district, and a Democratic candidate for governor won by 12.
Yes, sir.
My hat is off. That's the kinds of politics. I think you're going to win by 12. I really do. I'm going to put the bar high. I think you're going to go get them, girl. Albert?
See, she'll take one or two, but I'll probably be more than that. Let me ask you about a couple of policy choices, Ms. Stelson. ICE, it's been terrible. They've murdered some innocent people. There's a bunch of thugs who are running it. So there are kind of two choices. Number one, to abolish ICE,
or number two, to reform ICE, leave it as it is, but put good people in charge and good training. Which do you favor?
Well, there are a lot of different things to think. I'm happy that the border is more solid than it was under President Biden. Things were a bit of a wreck then, but our neighborhoods are a mess. What ICE is doing and not being investigated for, you know, you can't have people showing up in American neighborhoods fully masked, sometimes not in uniforms, not wearing badges. Certainly, they're not wearing the body cams they're supposed to be wearing and wreaking havoc. We were told they were going to make us more safe. People are not feeling more safe. They're feeling scared. These people are showing up at churches, at schools, and they're ripping families apart. In many cases, people they hadn't even been targeting. Targeting. That's what we're talking about in the United States of America. People being targeted in our neighborhoods. I want our neighborhoods to be safe. I want people who are here illegally, who are dangerous criminals, to be gone. That is not what is happening right now.
So you would favor reforming ICE, not abolishing the immigration agency?
No, people forget. I think ICE has been around since 2003. And people forget. You know, what I think needs to happen, I'm really glad Kristi Noem is gone. And I think we ought to look at, you know, the dangerous Stephen Miller. These are people who are doing things that America has due process. It's what sets our democracy apart from so many. And that's not being followed and nobody's being punished. These are real problems for people.
How about health care? Medicare for all, single payer system, or expand the Affordable Health Care Act?
Well, I think the very least we need to do is expand the Affordable Health Care Act while we figure out what else to do. This is a great country, and we need a great health care system that cares for all of us in an affordable way. And I remind you, I'm running against Scott Perry, who was the one in Pennsylvania who said the government should not be able to negotiate prescription drug prices with pharmaceutical companies. You know why? Takes money from those companies. That's not okay. I would like to see the age limit lifted. You know, right now, folks who are on Medicare or older get 10 drugs, including insulin. That's fantastic. I'd like to see more drugs involved, and I'd like to see everybody get those drugs. This is important for people. They need to take care of themselves, and that's not the system we're operating under right now.
Let me ask one more before turning it back to James. There seems to be a debate. Republicans say you do not live in or vote in the district, that you live in Lancaster. Some Democrats have said, no, you moved to Cumberland. Which is it? Where do you live and where do you vote?
Welcome to Cumberland County. I live here. I voted here.
They're lying. Imagine that.
Well, I remember when I saw the first ad last time, and it was a big lie about me. And I went to my team and I said, what are we going to do? Do we get attorneys? This is a lie. This is not true. And my team sort of patted me. Now, keep in mind, I'm a newswoman who always operates with facts. The team patted me and they said, welcome to politics, Janelle.
James Carville.
So I'm going to give you a piece of advice. If anybody on your campaign staff says, Janelle, no one's going to believe that shit, fire them on the spot. Okay, that's the thing that kills Democrats. So let's go.
Great team. I would never fire any of them.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's go rapid fire here, okay? Do you want to defund the police?
No, my dad was a state trooper.
Okay. Do you want to abolish immigration and customs enforcement?
Absolutely not, but we need to do it in a very different way.
Okay. Do you identify more as a socialist or more as a capitalist?
Capitalist.
Oh, okay. I mean, this sounds so elementary and so stupid and so easy, but it's important that we get it on the record, because all of these things, they are going to say that you did.
You
want single gender bathrooms in middle schools?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Oh, okay. I'm just trying to give you the ammunition, because all of this is going to come your way. All right. Understand that it's going to come your way. And I think
I hear you loud and clear.
I think you're a tough candidate. You really give a good presentation, and I think you're going to win. And we're just delighted to have you part of our show. And I hope I can get up there in central Pennsylvania and go around and see some of the many friends I have there from my days back in Pennsylvania.
Love to have you here. And
just remember, you're in the Alabama part of the state.
Yeah, we we sure have. But we've been delighted to have you. Let me ask you this: other than Governor Shapiro, like to have any other Democrat come in and campaign for you?
You know, I'm solely focused on a Republican, Scott Perry, and taking him down. I will take all the help I can get from everybody, but we're really focused on the voters here and what they have to say and accomplishing what they need.
I think on your pop quiz, James would give you an A+, and I would concur. Anyway, you thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
My view of women anchor or of anchor women was high, and it's remained high too.
Thank you. Absolutely. And everybody who's interested, please go to JanelleStelson.com and find out how you can volunteer or help monetarily or any way we need.
Are you accepting contributions if somebody, just say somebody in Sheboygan said, yeah, I like that candidate. I think I'm going to send a $50. You'll be fine with that, right?
Heck yes. Thank you.
Well, tough questions coming from here. Enjoy your time in the sheets with Miracle. Would it be in 100 degrees all over the country? I mean, thank you. There's no such thing as New Orleans weather. It's called New Orleans weather is now called national weather. And if you're not accustomed to it, as you probably aren't, let me tell you something. If you live down here, you know sleeping cool is sleeping good. So welcome to our climate and do what we do and get these sheets and you'll sleep a lot better.
Yeah, and that's a message for European listeners too. Yes.
If you can't get air conditioners, get these sheets quickly, pronto.
Right. So if you wake up sweaty, freezing, or just uncomfortable, it's time to upgrade. The temperature in your bedroom can make or break your sleep. That's why you need to switch to Miracle-Made sheets. They're inspired by NASA technology and use silver-infused temperature-regulating fabric to help you sleep perfectly all night long. Sleeping at the right temperature is a critical way to feel rested the next day, and whether it's too hot or too cold, Miracle-Made sheets truly give you maximum comfort. They make pillowcases and comforters too. Plus, thanks to their antibacterial silver technology, Miracle sheets require way less laundry days because they stay clean and fresh 3 times longer. Not only is the fewer wash cycles, but it's great for your skin. Hidden bacteria can clog your pores and cause acne. So sleep cleaner and clearer with Miracle. With no more gross odors, life's a whole lot better for your household. So join us in getting better sleep every night. Not only are Miracle-Made sheets smooth, breathable, and ridiculously comfortable, they don't have the steep price tag of other luxury brands. Miracle sheets feel nicer than bed sheets used by some 5-star hotels. It's a vacation when you get into bed. I imagine myself taking my wife for her birthday to Paris in November, which I'm going to do, and I hope they have Miracle-Made sheets. It's your call. Choose Miracle to upgrade your sleep or give the gift of better rest. Go to trymiracle.com/warroom to try Miracle-Made sheets today. You'll save over 40%, and when you use the promo code WARROOM, you'll get an extra 20% off, plus a free 3-piece towel set. They make an amazing gift, and with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no risk. That's trymiracle.com/warroom with the code WARROOM at checkout. Thanks to Miracle for sponsoring this episode, and the link is also in our show notes. All right, now for the outrage of the week. You know, I'm sorry, this may seem like an old story to you. It's been around so much. But I want you citizens to know that you continue to get fleeced by your president and his family like never before, and all it does is get worse. This week, the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, CREW, revealed that Trump made $117 million from foreign business interests in the first year of this term. Forget that stuff about America first. Trump thinks that's really for suckers when it comes to money. Some of these deals involve foreign governments. So the heck with the emoluments clause. I mean, that says presidents aren't supposed to take largesse from foreign governments. That's just a constitutional impediment. Typically, he cares about what's in it for him. But this time, he also is making sure his kids are taken care of. The Washington Post reported that money management companies tied to Donald Jr. and Eric Trump have hauled in more than $6 billion from defense sector firms. You know, I suppose if all this were occurring while there were great financial riches around and everybody was doing great, you might overlook it. But while most Americans are barely keeping even, the Trumps are making out like bandits, literally, not figuratively.
So the quote, progressive, unquote, I'm going to read something to you, and I'm going to tell you why this is typical. A progressive House candidate who served in a battleground district in Michigan as long Democratic Party officials once said black U.S. political leaders are a pillar of the capitalist and peerless American establishment. Yeah, Jim Clyburn is part of that. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly who Martin Luther King was.
John Lewis.
You're right. That's who John Lewis was. And these people are paternalistic, and it's a bunch of overeducated little white turds who think they know more than other people know, and they know what's wrong. And they're going to go, and then you got, they're talking about indicting Netanyahu. And that the problem is you have a candidate, a DSA candidate in New York saying we should be against interracial dating. Let me tell you something. These people, and these are to all my black friends and friend people like me, they think they know more than you do. They think their history is more glorious than yours. They think that Lenin was a more glorious human being than Martin Luther King or Frederick Douglass. That's what they really think. And if you don't you know that, you don't know your history. And you should view these people with extreme, extreme skepticism because they think they know what's better for you than you know what's better for you. And they think they know your history better than you know their history. This asshole don't know what he's talking about.
Someday James is going to tell us what he really thinks.
Yeah, one day. You can see this coming.
Yeah.
See, it's always been, you know, you got to be part of the movement. The only movement they got is a fucking bowel movement.
I agree. Totally. You're absolutely right on. Okay.
Handle your affairs with trust and will. Well, all right, this is something I can tell you. Most people die what lawyers call intestate. So what does that mean? That means that the state legislature, yeah, the same one, the Pennsylvania state legislature that they said that John D. Rockefeller did everything to it but refine it, is going to decide how your assets are allocated. I think that's a decision that you want to make. And it used to be, in order to make that decision, you know, you had to be affluent enough to have a law firm and had a wills section of it, a estate section. Now you don't even need that. This is cheap, affordable. It's well done. It's drawn up by some of the best lawyers in the United States. And you can be in control of your own assets after you go. And I think anybody, even if you have a very modest estate, I think you would even more so want your assets directed to the places and people that you really care about. This is a no-brainer, ma'am. And this is where, you know, things happen and technology brings things to people and it actually makes life better. This is one of these things I would put right in the forefront. I could not recommend this enough to people.
Agree. You know, hard to say, but we're not getting any younger. And with growing families, you want to take care of them. And whether you're 38 or 80, getting your affairs in order gives you peace of mind. Unfortunately, a lot of people get overwhelmed by the paperwork or don't know where to start. That's why we want to tell you, we saw that Trust and Will makes the process easy and affordable with pros ready to help. Trust and Wills offers affordable attorney-designated estate plans online that you can create in as little as 30 minutes. Their website makes it super easy to create your will or trust online. It's fast and in as little as 30 minutes. You can create a will that lets you document your wishes for guardians, asset distribution, and healthcare planning. Plus, their products are state-specific and tailored to your needs with attorney support available as an add-on. So update your plan at every life stage with a platform that keeps everything organized, updated, and ready, so your loved ones never face the burden alone. You can also share access with trusted contacts to ensure your will is carried out and, most importantly, is secure. Trust and Will has bank-level encryption and secure sharing features, so your most important information stays protected and accessible. When we go through this with our young producer, you know, at Politics War Room, he realized that after getting married, it was time to get it done. Now he tells everyone how fast and how simple it was. So Trust and Will is the most trusted name in online estate planning, with thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot. Trust and Will, affordable estate plans, priceless peace of mind. Go to trustandwill.com/warroom and get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/warroom to get your 20% off. trustandwill.com/warroom. The link is also in our show notes. Now for the listener questions, which we just love. You all send in such interesting, provocative questions. The first is from Mary in Austin, Texas. She says, everything I read about Trump's election interference and denialism makes it sound like he's the mastermind of this strategy to undermine confidence in our elections. Mary says, I don't think he's that smart. He's just got a wounded ego. I think he's the vehicle that much smarter people use to carry out their nefarious plan to destroy our democratic democracy. Why don't we hear more about the structure and the people behind this effort, James?
Look, there's a problem. They're going to really try to do everything they can to mess this election. Okay, I genuinely believe that. But in terms of a message, it's not the right message. Because if you tell people they're going to bring ICE out, you're going to scare people off. But we have to have determination. But I think your determination has to be below the waterline, if you know what I mean. And you're right. He's not very smart, but he just keeps doing this. And by the way, he is a president of the United States. He does have control over the machinery of the federal government, which I know legally and constitution. Yeah, go tell fucking John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh that something is unconstitutional. That's going to really move Sam Alito. Like, he's going to read the 14th Amendment. That's going to change his mind. No. It's a real threat, but we have to be very aware of it. And you're right, he's not that smart, but there are too many people that are vested in not having a fair election result, that have too much power and too much interest and are too corrupt, that we got to play this thing cleverly. We just can't say they're stupid and it's not a problem, because it is a problem.
Right. Pete in Raleigh, North Carolina notes, there are two problems with a two-party system. Politicians rarely deviate from the party line and almost always vote as a bloc. And the parties often don't have platforms. They just oppose the other party. Is there any hope for change? Pete? I hope not. I think the two-party system serves us well. Some of your criticism is correct, but I think when you start to get into three and four parties, governing becomes much, much harder. Look at some of the European countries. I also don't agree that they just follow the party line. Look at the Affordable Health Care Act that was enacted in 2010. They came in with all sorts of different views on that, and what happened is, guided by Nancy Pelosi and Henry Waxman, they put together a deal, which then went to the Senate, and which didn't help it a whole lot. But that's the way the process works. And I think if you want to talk about right now today, the Democrats do have a platform. This is not a presidential year, but even a limited platform, increase the minimum wage, restore all the Medicaid cuts, increase taxes on the wealthier Americans, and do something about corruption. I mean, that is a platform. It may not be a total governing platform, but so I really take issue with you, Pete, although I appreciate your question.
Yeah, Peter, I'll say this. I have no reason to believe you anything other than a well-motivated and ill-informed guy. That's the same old pap and bullshit. Can you name a single positive economic indicator in the United States in the last 75 years that Democratic presidents have not stagnantly outperformed Republican presidents? Let me give you the answer. You can't. Can you tell me which party has expanded health insurance to more people by a factor of, I don't know, 100 than the other party? Yeah, I know you can't. Can you tell me we straddled with $40 trillion in debt and over both parties did it? Yeah, one party did it 15%, the other party did it 85%. And you're a good guy and you're a smart guy. Do me a favor. Study the difference before you go and repeat some stupid cocktail party left-wing bullshit. But I think you're a good guy, Pete.
So do I. No, I want to tell you, Pete, and we love Raleigh, North Carolina, so please keep them coming.
Keep them coming. We're not taking first.
And keep challenging us.
And keep learning,
Jim,
Pete. Keep learning.
I'm going to read Jim in Gainesville, Florida, in just a minute. First, I want to tell Eric. Eric wrote, but Eric, you didn't tell us where you're from. And you said that you wrote it to James, and you said your 77-year-old mom and you love James, and he wants to know if you have any future events coming up, any book signings or speeches. Eric, if you don't tell us where you're from, we can't tell you where James's appearances might be. So why don't you write again this week, tell us where you're from, and we'll get to it next week, okay?
Maybe we'll take the podcast wherever your mother is. You don't know. Right. Just tell us where you are.
Jim, however, says he's from Gainesville, Florida. He is, I'm sure.
Right.
And he says, lacking an affirmative action, the Democrats' biggest message is we're against Trump. I am too. But that means our results are correlated with how shitty Republicans are. So if somehow they lower gas prices and groceries, you know, we may do worse. Is that what we want to hitch our wagon to? He asked you, James.
Well, you know what I got to say about Gainesville? Gator. What was my Gator friend's question now?
He thinks that the Democrats are tying everything to how bad Trump is, and if gas prices and groceries get better, that it's going to be a bad thing to hitch your wagon to.
First of all, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen with gas prices. I don't know, but I think there's sufficient reason, even if the gas prices were to come down slightly, I don't think, or even if the grocery prices were to come down slightly, I don't think. You know what Trump said? He said during the campaign that he was going to cut insurance rates. And you live in Gainesville, pal. I already know the answer. He was going to cut insurance rates in half. You know what insurance rates have happened since he's taken office? They're up 18%. Let me tell you, if you're worried about this, don't worry about insurance rates in Florida get cut in half between now and Election Day, because they're not going to happen. And you are a victim of total power. The President of the United States, the Senate of the United States, the House of Representatives of the United States, the Supreme Court of the United States, the Governor of Florida, the Senate of Florida, the House of Representatives of the State of Florida, the Supreme Court of the State of Florida. They have all conspired to fuck you and cause your insurance rates to go up 18% in under 2 years. And that's going to keep happening. And don't fall for all this bullshit they put out to you.
I think we brought James out of his shell by now. Bob in Morro Bay, California, says John Ossoff is really coming to the forefront. What are his 2028 chances? Bob, don't worry about 2028 yet. John Ossoff is doing a hell of a job. He and Kate Conley have the best, strongest message I have heard all year. And for the left-wingers who say that moderates or progressive Pelosi Democrats, if you will, are just, they're not tough enough. Listen to John Ossoff or listen to Kate Conley. You know, after this election, you then can start thinking about 2028. There's going to be a whole lot of terrific possibilities. But right now, John Ossoff is going to win in Georgia, and he's delivering a very powerful message.
You know, I agree, and this is a historical question. We talk about great Senate combos from different states. Maybe you could think of Daniel Patrick Moynihan and Jacob Javits. I don't know, Dale Bumpers and
Senator David Pryor.
Even shorter.
Warren Magnuson and Henry Jackson. I can go through that forever. I can really bore you.
I can tell you the Warnock Ossoff combination is right up there with everybody else. I really believe that. Right up there. I think Georgia is turned into the most significant state politically in the entire United States. I do.
Mm-hmm. James, this is just for you. It's from Jordan in St. Gabriel, Louisiana.
Oh, that's where St. Gabriel is called, bro.
Well, he says, if you were a 22-year-old from a small Louisiana town who hoped to spend a lifetime in public service, what would you focus on first in today's political realm? Great question, Jordan.
Boy, is it. I know where you're from, and I know it. Coming from there, you have a lot of experience with environmental degradation. That would certainly be something that you would start with. You've had some experience with corruption. I know that. That would be another really good starting place. But it's a great place. And by the way, I think it's one of the oldest Catholic church parishes in Louisiana. I think it's the oldest stand where I made my first communion. It's the oldest standing church in the entire Louisiana parish. So you come from a great place with a great history that is the center of some really relevant and bad problems that we're facing here as a country as a whole. So I wish you all the best in the world.
Yeah. All right, you've heard it. You've heard it from the guru, Jordan. Take that advice, Richard in Lafayette, Colorado. I guess it is. I don't know where Lafayette, Colorado
is. Metropolitan Denver, but I'm not sure. That's always a good guess when you have Colorado. But
he asked a good question. What is Trump's BS attacking communism in the United States about? He loves communist dictators. You know, Richard, you know, first of all, he has no idea what communism is or the difference between communism and socialism. You know, he's just blustering. And he certainly loves Xi Jinping when it's convenient to love Xi Jinping. And, you know, other than that, you really have to go to a theme park somewhere outside of Havana to find a communist. This is just Trump. And I think even some of those really, really, I think, worrisome democratic socialists, they're not communists. We may think some of their views are nutty. I do. But that's different than communism. But Trump doesn't know or care about that.
Yeah. And understand, socialism is an economic system. The communism is part of the economic system, but also a political system. But maybe one of the more, I'm sure if you graded countries on, I don't know how you would come up with being, so Finland would probably be up there. It's also a hugely successful country. There's no country that was more effective in fighting the Soviet Union than Finland. And I wish I could think of the guy's name. One of my favorite characters ever was the Finnish sniper in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, this guy was something else. So, I don't think Trump knows the difference. I really don't. I think he's that stupid. I'm going to defend him when he uses communist socialism. I think he has no idea of history. He has no idea that Sweden and Denmark and Norway and Finland and countries like that are hugely successful countries, are really democratic countries, have a lot of really, really successful business, and have a real strong program for social insurance. So I'm going to defend Trump on the grounds that you can always defend him. He's just too fucking stupid to know what he's talking about.
James, I confess I cheated. I looked it up, but it's Simo Haya. He was nicknamed the White Death, and he was the Finnish military sniper.
He would go out in the morning. It was like a farmer. He'd go out in the morning. He wouldn't use a scope, and he'd blacken his sights, and he would chew snow so the cold air wouldn't, condensate off of his mouth. He was maybe the most effective soldier that ever lived.
he was supposed to be the most deadliest sniper in world history.
He was probably a socialist, but he was sure wasn't a communist.
James, our final question. I'm going to combine two. Brian in Milford, Michigan, and Karen in Salt Lake City, Utah, and Vicky. First, we're going to put them together because they're very similar. Brian asks, why isn't the Democratic leadership reaching out to Bernie Sanders and other Democratic socialists to bring the party together? They truly have more in common than they have differences. Is it simply that the DNC did everything they could to keep Sanders off the ballot in 2016? and 20. And Karen in Salt Lake asks, is it time to stop criticizing other Democrats going into the midterms? We need all hands on deck.
So why do they, okay, I understand what you're saying. So they get to attack everybody as being an establishment Democrat. There's no difference between Democrats. There's no difference between Jeff Merkley and Ron Johnson. There's no difference between Sheldon Whitehouse and James Comer or whatever it is.
And then, Jeffries and Mike Johnson.
Yeah, right. And then they spend all their time attacking Democrats. And they say, well, why don't they try to make friends with us? Why is it always incumbent to make friends with them? If these left-wingers want to be friends, fine. Say we can have disagreements. That's not what they say. That's not what this guy in Michigan is saying. He's actually attacking. He's a left-wing guy attacking black leaders. You know, you're going to tell me they're more important part of the constituent Democratic Party than black voters are? You're wrong. They're not. They ought to be trying to make up with us.
Okay. Listen, we love these questions. I know we didn't get to some good ones this week. And I know, Eric, you're going to write again next week. And we'll try to get to them in a week. But please keep them coming. They keep us on our toes, and we really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to Politics War Room with James Carville, and I'm Al Hunt. As always, send your questions for us by email to politicswarroom@gmail.com or tweet them for next week's show at Politicon. Following this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you check out the links to our sponsors, Air Doctor, Miracle Made, and Trust in Will in our episode show notes. We thank you for supporting them because when you do, it helps make this podcast happen. Now, to keep up with us, subscribe to Politics War Room on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And check out our Substack at politicswarroom.com. James and I are constantly adding new content, so go take a look. You can also find other shows you might enjoy on the Politicon YouTube channel or when you search Politicon on your favorite podcast sites. Remember, please rate the show with a 5-star review. We'll be back next week with another show as we continue our War Room planning.